Our epistle for this Feast of Pentecost is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a violent wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as a fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying at Jerusalem devout Jews from every nation under heaven. And when the sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and the inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We have heard them speaking in our own language of the wonderful works of God." Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 23 to 31. At the time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the prince of this world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, when someone goes about to purchase something, they often have to deal with the value of that thing for themselves. What is the value of this thing for me? If the person has the money and has the time and has the object, they have the opportunity to buy the thing or to have the thing that's valuable or they consider valuable to them. My dear friends in Christ, I'm telling you, we have the opportunity, we have the thing, and we have the time. But when time comes to an end, the opportunity is gone. What am I speaking about here? I am talking about the opportunity that we have where it concerns our relationship with God. So many people make it to be something that's shallow. Oh, they get serious about it when something tragic or more important happens in their life, but it's not something that's important to them all the time. And it should be. We have the opportunity to have part with God if you are in sanctifying grace, and it doesn't take much. It takes a little bit of effort and time. And an invitation, a personal invitation by you to have part with God. Yeah, we have to go perhaps telling ourselves in confession to get everything good with the good Lord, but then he gives us a share in his life. That's what sanctifying grace is, isn't it? The life of God in our souls. We have that opportunity. Sanctifying grace is when the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Is that sufficient? No. If the Holy Spirit only dwells within us and nothing happens, then we are wicked servants. Remember the parable of the man who had 5 talents, the one man who had 2 talents, the one man who had 1 talent? They all had the talents. The one who had 5 went out and gained 5 more. The one who had 2 went out and gained 2 more. The one who had 1 carefully folded it in a napkin and hid it. Didn't abuse it. Didn't use it. He didn't lose it. And when he came before the master, the one with 5 came and gave 5 more and says, "Here, you've given me 5. Here are 5 others. And the master said, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." And the one with 2, the same. The one with 1, he says, "Oh, I didn't use it. I didn't abuse it. I didn't lose it. Here you go. You can have it back." And he was called a wicked servant. Wicked. Why? Because when we have the grace of God given to us, Christ tells us, "You must let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven." We must allow the Holy Spirit not just to be one with us, but to work through us. It is the sharing of God with others through us that is our vocation. That is what we call sanctity. This is what a saint is. But we live in a day and age where we think that a feel-good philosophy is an okay theology. Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. That's hogwash. If you allow somebody to hurt the possibility of their eternal salvation, and you could prevent it, or you could at least have a possibility of affecting a different outcome, and you don't do it, you're evil. We have been given God's grace, given the opportunity of God's grace. We have a part with God, and our part with God is sanctifying grace, the life of God in our soul, the Holy Spirit. But I would challenge us all to reiterate our effort in calling upon the Holy Spirit, inviting him into our day, that we may be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Not just a church thing you hear, a reality of our daily lives. If we don't, we suffer. If we do, not only we, but those around us benefit. So many people live in a selfish mentality and they forget, or maybe they're not even taught, that we're all just instruments. An instrument with a free will. An intellect and a free will, but a free will to choose whether or not we're going to be a willing instrument of him or not. It takes a moment. But it's something that happens, that has to happen every day. Christ says, let your light shine before men so that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. We're meant to preach a sermon by our example. We're meant to share the possibility of what we can have with our neighbor. And the possibility of what we can have is a share in divine love, the Spirit of love and truth, the Holy Spirit, sanctifying grace. We get it confused with emotion or popularity. And we cheat ourselves, but not only ourselves, others out, but also the good Lord out of what he wants, what we could have, and what other people could have a share with. So on this Feast of Pentecost, when we celebrate where that opportunity has started, the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, and on that day, 3,000 people were baptized and made children of God, and then all the way through the centuries to this day, where we have sanctifying grace or the opportunity of sanctifying grace, let us make sure our invitation to the Holy Spirit is sincere, true, and not just happening today, but from this day forward, each day, every day, sincere, knowing that without the Holy Spirit, we're nothing. We are a lost cause, but with him, we are everything. We can become saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.